The following program is sponsored by Scoop USA Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Inside Scoop. We are, I'm going to share a little something with you all. So I have this phobia about being in the studio by myself. And guess what? For the very moment, probably for the next 5 minutes, it's just me. So, I guess there are a couple of things going on in the world. The weather outside is not what you wanted it to be. The snowflakes are pretty, but it's kind of cold out. So there are a couple of things that are driving the narrative today and have people moving a little slower than what we hoped they would. So we do have a show planned today. Hopefully things go according to my plans, but sometimes things don't go the way they're supposed to. So we'll have to work through it and just really deal with what we have today. So with that said, listen, there are a couple of things I need to share. Number one, we've been blessed to now be a part of the Allegheny West Show on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. That is now part of the Scoop umbrella. So this is the Inside Scoop with Thera Martin every Wednesday. So you can actually join. This is Thera's show. She has been a lifetime writer and friend, and she's a big sister to me with Scoop. And there were some changes, and she needed to be able to keep the show. So we put it under the Scoop umbrella for the time being. So every Wednesday, you can actually listen to the Scoop with Thera, who has a lot more broadcasting and media experience than me, and she does cover everything. So instead of just covering the Allegheny West area, now she's doing citywide, and she's opening up this platform to do so much more and to share a lot of the stories that she actually does in print for us, the things that she actually can't get because print is pretty limited sometimes. You can only write one story at a time. But when you have three or four different things going on and you have to select which one you want to write about, you have that other avenue when you're actually live on air so you can talk about those issues and actually get them out and people can still be informed. So every Wednesday, you have the Inside Scoop with Thera. Every Thursday, you have the Inside Scoop with me and Marcus and the team. We'll say it that way. So we actually are doing some good things, and maybe in a year or so we'll have the Inside Scoop on another day. You know, the goal is to be in all the rooms that we can so that we can be informative and we can actually follow on our commitment to community news, and being active and actually bringing things to the table so people can live better, be better, and do better. So with that said, this week's feature, Thera did something so wonderful for me. Sometimes I look at the articles and the information that she gives me, and I just get so psyched and excited. Most of the time, it's Sunday afternoon when I'm trying to edit and make sure that this paper is published. But a lot of times, I get to do things to surprise them. So she brought this story to my attention about a group of young men, basketball team. That were doing a tour, and their coach is a community coach who was in the service, who got out, came home, and he wanted to do something to give back. He wanted to help the inner city kids. So he started coaching. He's now the official coach at Dobbins High School, which is my alma mater, no less. So to hear that and to say, oh, somebody from my school got to help. He's the coach there, but he's also the coach at the Cecil B. Moore Center, which is down the street on 22nd Street. And he's been doing things to help the youth in the community. And in doing that, he started doing tours and going to tournaments with them outside of the city. And in order to do that, he needed a van. So he scraped up his own money and purchased a van. And they were using a van all throughout the summer and going to tournaments. And looks like from the picture on the cover of the paper, winning some things. And toward the end of the summer, I guess, their van broke down. Not only did it break down, it broke down while they were on the highway coming back from a tournament. So, and this is me hearing this story second, third, maybe fourth hand, because I actually edited it and put it in the paper. But the van broke down and they were walking the highway, basketball team, walking the highway, trying to get off of the highway because their van broke down on the highway. And they walked back into the city where they were then able to get a couple of Ubers. And the Uber you know, brought them back. And now the coach is at the table now trying to figure out how he can now get funding to purchase another van so that he can continue doing the work that he's doing for these youth. So the article that Thera shared was literally an article about a good person in a community trying to do something and who needs some help. And just hearing that, number one, we have a lot of kids who actually need to be doing some good things and doing some things that keep them out of the neighborhood. And you have somebody who's invested their time to try to do something like this. You know, you look at them and they're like, oh, my God, it's a good person. And what's amazing is there are many other people who in the city who do things like this. There are many people who are now getting the funding and the grant funding to continue to do some of the work that they're doing from the city. And then there's some, I see is one of my brothers on the phone. We'll be with you in a second, Sparks. And then there's, that's Emilio Sparks. And then there are people who actually don't get recognition and who don't do the grants, who don't do the actual paperwork to get the funding. And a lot of times those are the people that are doing like that bare boots on the ground work. And this particular coach is doing it, you know. So the call that went out in Scoop was that if there is somebody who has something who can help, you know, we want to know if there's people out here, we can come together and try to make sure that these kids can continue playing ball, continue participating in the tournaments that they're participating in, and keep giving back and doing what we're doing. So that was like one of the stories that touched me. And last week we had the Honorable Tracy Gordon on, so we actually didn't do our normal intro. And we didn't get to talk about another van story where in Strawberry Mansion, you know, the Phillies actually went maybe 3 weeks ago and gave them a van that they can take their kids to different events and they can communicate. I mean, the person in Strawberry Mansion who, oh my gosh, and I'm speaking and my brain is just all over the place, so please help me. They actually have given like their entire life to the community. There's a house that is their community center. They don't have a rec center in Strawberry Mansion. I asked one of the residents about doing out internal, like, it's cold now. All of the events and things that you were doing outside, can you do them inside? He says, we don't have a rec center in our neighborhood. Mm. We asked the school if we can use their facilities. They want $105 an hour. Community, like the school. These are the things that go unsaid that people don't know actually exist in these conversations. And I think sometimes people don't want to bring them to the forefront because it's kind of like, are you serious? Like yeah. The school that's in our community, in order for us to use it, they need us to give them this money. And, you know, these are good people trying to do things to help themselves. Yeah. Those are the things that sparked me. I love to see when people step up and they try to take care of their own situations because I believe in my heart that if you show up and you're doing the best that you can, that's when people actually really want to help you.
Yeah.
You know, because you're doing the work and you're proving and validating that you are trying to do better yourself. So Amris walked in, so I'm not totally by myself anymore. And we had my brother on the phone, so I'm definitely not by myself anymore. So I feel like 20 times better. Hey, bro.
Hello. How you doing?
Hi.
I said I hate being by myself in the studio. I really do. Yeah. I don't like talking into a microphone.
Well, I by myself. Yeah, I texted you and let you know that I was on my way.
I know, but I think that I look crazy. I do. There's this empty void thing that when... And I think it has something to do with maybe the cartoons that I watched growing up. Like, you see somebody in the room talking to themselves. It's just like, are you seriously?
See, okay, so low-key, like, not to, like, pull away from your show, but I do a show, too, as you know.
And you talk by yourself all the time.
Yeah, and I don't feel like I look crazy.
Okay. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it at all.
Well, it's always a personal preference, too.
Like you're an only child too, right?
No, I have a brother.
Did he grow up with you?
Yeah, he's 2 years older than me. I mean, we didn't really get along and we kind of stayed separate. But like, I mean, I've just kind of always been very independent.
Yeah, that's not me. that's not me. My brothers will tell you that I am the sister of all sisters. I am like in your face, in your business, in your life.
Right.
I am that sister.
See, and I right. think because I'm so independent and
yeah,
so
you're
like,
fine being in a room by yourself. Yeah, I don't like it.
But and like when people do that to me, it's jarring because I'm like, why are you asking me all these questions? Mm. Like, and for me, I like want to block people out, but then I'm like, no, that's, you know. I'm realizing more and more because now I have somebody that I live with and she's like you. She's, you know, pointed like, yeah, what's this? Why is this? Yeah. Who is this? You know, and I'm like,
that's,
I'm not a used to or accustomed
love.
To it. It is, but I'm not used to it.
Tell her, Sparks, that's love, right?
Pretty much. That it, is. You know.
How dare you call me and not get that response from me? You can't, you know Amherst now. You can't call me and say something and not get like all of this redirect and all of this love. And it's like, oh my God, what are you doing?
I'm like, I'm an adopted part of your family now.
Ah, extension. Okay. Listen, I just, you know, ladies, I just wanted to call Sheree and tell you, I love what you was doing. I heard about the anti-violence situation.
Yeah, we need,
And so, I could not make it there, and I wanted to just get on the telephone and reach out and say I love the way – I love what everybody else is doing. They do due diligence when I see that because, like you said, I wanted to do the ground up. I wanted to do our work from the ground up, too. And sometimes we can't even – sometimes the insurance wasn't covering some of the things that we wanted to do with the kids and all that kind of stuff. So, like you said, we had to get out here with the campaign. We outside, restored oil, try to get foundation and get back to the folks that just in need.
So Sparks and my brother, my other brother – They started in the summertime. Amherst, you weren't here. They came on the show. It was so awesome. They have a We Outside campaign where they're doing things trying to help with the crime and the violence in the city, but they're helping themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they're starting from boots on the ground, trying to use the things, the good things that they have. Remember they were here?
Bless your
good
soul
things
for
that they
doing
have.
That.
Yeah, and bringing it to the forefront. So this gentleman...
So are there like particular neighborhoods that you know go into that you're doing this?
Well, yeah, we've been in North Philadelphia section, West Philadelphia section, Southwest Philadelphia section, anywhere just to move around and just to get with people and network and see who we can get with and work with and see and get some things accomplished out there. So we're just running around making some things happen.
So Amherst, do you know who Emilio Sparks is? You do.
I do.
Yeah, I think you do. Tell her who you are, brother. Tell her. Well, tell her where you from.
Oh, well, just give a short history. I'm from West Philadelphia, but I started out with doing music with Rockefeller, Jay-Z, and Dame Dash, and all the guys, and we did some films together. And I stayed over there from 1999 to about 2006, and that's what I've been pretty much doing. And after that, I went independent. So since then, I've just been, you know, just doing what I got to do out here on the independent side of things and then trying to reach out to the community and get some things done in there.
So when you're saying that, obviously you are within the artistry community, is what you're doing related to music and
bringing it all
creation
together.
Or, you know, is there a physical aspect to what you're doing?
Well, if I could just take some of the influence I got and try to use it, you know, and put it in a channel in the positive light. That's what pretty much the direction is. You know, sometimes I just took a step back and looked around and see what was going on in our community and actually what I come from. I was affected by the things that was going on in the neighborhoods too, crime, poverty. So I was just like, you know, what can I do to get, you know, change things around? So if I could take some of this influence I got from some of the music and some of the people I've been around and do radio and get on the phone with people like Sheree and reach out to people like Z and stuff like that. And maybe I can make something happen and be effective out here.
And when you're doing that, when you're out there, you know, reaching out to mm-hmm. the youths and individuals who kind of need a redirect mm-hmm. to see opportunities that are available to them that you're, you know, trying to provide, what is it that you do? Or, like, how do you bring people in?
Oh, that's what we do. We give them a platform. We'll take the artist. We say, okay, guys, we'll pay for the platform. We'll pay for the platform. We'll fund it. We'll get you guys to the platform. We'll give you outlets. We'll give you social media outlets. We give you media outlets and maybe you discover it. And just take your whatever you're dealing with and take that negative, whatever you feel negative, and turn it to a positive thing. And you never know what might happen because, you know, a lot of us deal with a lot of things, you know, people have been, downplaying them and telling them you can't make it. So I give them a platform to show them that's just a bunch of crap.
It's my favorite word. It's opportunity.
I give them an opportunity to do it because the rest of that is a bunch of crap. You just get out there. These guys, it's females and the guys, they just need somebody in their corner that's going to inspire them and tell them that, you know, going the right way ain't the bad thing all the time. Some are afraid to go in the right direction because they think what they're doing is the norm. And sometimes you just need somebody, instead of a yes man, you need somebody to tell you, like, hold up, that ain't what's up.
Yeah. And now I know back in the day we used to have there used to be in urban atmospheres, like places where youths or individuals gathered and like would kind of have a rap off. For all intents and purposes. Is that something where, you know, you go out and you find these individuals, or do you cross people in the streets and you hear somebody, you know, shouting off lyrics or whatnot, and like you approach them that way?
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to turn their nightmares into dreams and then make some money from it. It's just like, I know some of the music is graphic, but I'd rather you get your point across and change your life around versus, you know, being in the stale cell.
Yeah.
So if I can just, you know, and then we got to lead by examples too, because we're not all perfect and we come from this situation. So it's like, you know, we got to be out here for them too, because some of them are getting advice from guys that saying, hey, 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 but they're looking at that like, hey, but you doing it. So with me, I just try to say, like, hey, do my due diligence, let them know we outside, not outside. I mean, hey, we trying to make something happen within the community. So I'm positive, and we come from the same place, and We want you to benefit from what you're doing, and not just, that's because pretty much most of the crime comes from because people want they ain't got the means to do what they want, so they take another route. They take another route. So if we can do it, and like I said, my partner and I, we get together and we make something happen, then we can make something happen. That's what we're doing. We're gonna put the money up, and we're gonna put them on the platform, and it's working. I keep working at it.
So we got another call. Sylvia's on, bro.
Okay, cool.
Mahal.
Hello, Sylvia.
Coming in.
She's on now. Now you can say hi.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Hey, Sparks is saying hey to you, Syl.
Hello, Sylvia. Am I on? Am I phone mute?
No, we can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Sylvia, can you
hear Emilio?
I can hear all Sylvia.
No,
maybe they can't hear each other for some reason, but Emilio is saying hi to you, just so
oh,
you know.
Oh, no, this is Serena. This is Serena Lomax.
Oh.
Yes, I don't have a phone. I'm at the exit. I'm packing
phone.
All the stuff from last year.
Hey.
Okay,
are you on Syl's phone, though? You at Taj? Okay, because she was going to call in, too, because, you know, we're what you didn't know when I came to the Taj Mahal yesterday, because I came there for you. But you didn't know that my brothers are a part of her family, so I'm kind of tied into them too.
Oh,
which was weird, because I walk in and she was like, "Hey, what's going on?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm here for Z." So they So Sparks is on the phone. Say hey to Z.
Okay.
Sparks is on the phone. Sylvia was going to call in too, and my brother Shiz, Naeem, should be somewhere around. Because they actually have some other stuff, and they're concentrating on the same thing that you're doing. And, you know, I love your platform, you know,
sure,
and the things that you do.
Good.
Yeah. You hear sure. Sparks talking to you, Z?
Who's Sparks?
Emilio Sparks.
I don't even go here. I'm like, who is Sparks?
Who's on first?
Who? I don't know. I don't know other Sparks besides him.
Yeah, that's what I go, Emilio.
Oh, hey, Sparks.
How you doing?
I'm literally talking to y'all at the storage unit. I am always
busy
putting the deck from last night.
Don't forget to keep some out so we can start. We can get your photos.
No, I got some that I put towards the front, but what people don't know is I'm actually moving this week at the same time as going this style. Girl, but I have art that I put towards the front so that way I can take it out of the storage unit.
Okay. So,
yep.
Z, this is Serena Lomax, and I'm just going to do a brief intro, and you know I love it when you introduce yourself, because you always tell more than what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I've been working with her, and it's amazing because we started out together. When I left you, I went to PABJ to a meeting, and your video guys were there. And I was like, oh, my God, Z had an event tonight. And we were all in the room with you for your very first show, you know?
Yeah.
And this is like, I don't even want to say what number it is. This is a number of shows after that first one. And mm-hmm. to be in the space again last night, I mean, a room full of families, which is really, and I say all of the time, as a member of the family of losses, you know what I mean, and people who have lost people to violence, being a member of that particular room myself, it's always a thing where they say, like, members only, membership has its privileges, and people are members of this group. But this is a group that nobody actually joins willingly. We don't come to it wanting to be a part of that. You know what I mean? We end up in this room with each other, trying most of the time to figure out our feelings and to help other people through. And the good thing is that you've done this, and you've done it time and time again. And the emotions that are in the room, the mere fact that people are coming together and trying to help each other heal shows another one of the things that I just said, people helping each other, like we're helping ourselves, you know, get through. Mm-hmm. So I always have to give you those accolades and the platform to always share your narrative. And I know that you and I know that when I started out as the owner of Scoop, you were one of the first people to see me to say, do this. Like, follow your passion. You do this. And I said the same thing to you. And we've been on this path together, you know, ever since. We back each other. So in seeing and knowing that and being in that space again last night, it was like, wow, you know, and it's growing. Yeah. It's unfortunately growing. It's unfortunately growing. Like, we don't want this one to grow, you know.
I had an opportunity to come up there and kick it with Z and some of the kids up in Germantown, me and Dr. Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like one of them things. And just to get around the kids and just get the vibe and talk with them and understand what they're going through, and we could just get back again like that, that was beautiful. That was a beautiful thing. Again, yeah, I apologize. Thanks. I couldn't make it yesterday, but definitely.
Well, give us some insights about where we are, what yesterday was. I hear you guys, you and my friend, No Gun Zone, are going to be doing something in the new year together. So I think that one of the best things is that you're bringing a whole bunch of people together who can actually do some more and help together. So give us the insight, Z, about where you are and I guess a little bit of history for those who are new.
It's simply that I started it because I lost a loved one to gun violence in 2018, Tom Oglesby. I was already within the art realm because I do TV and radio, as you know, and I started it because my story of, you know, overcoming and being a rape survivor, also a survivor of losing my father to the prison system because he did commit a murder and I was 17, and that didn't really have any grief outlets for me because I was on the perpetrator side.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at Philly Cam for a while. I think I was more into like my fourth or fifth season down page. She was killed. She was a month away from graduating from Penn State, and she was 23 years old. Just going to get something to eat, about to just go home and study, and she was killed. And that really kind of, it really transformed my life because it was very unexpected because in my ignorance, being honest, you know, you kind of see what you see on TV, and that's not what she looked like. That's not what she stood for. She came from a two-parent household. All the things that they say were missing, she had. But she still was a victim of gun violence. So when I was sharing the family stories on my TV show, I started the art portion to be able to make sure that I could continue to be able to share the stories of those that didn't want to come on the TV platform because of the vulnerability. And that's how the epilogue was birthed. Did the first show October of 2018, sold out. You just didn't even know anybody. Just was like, you know, I just have an idea to give back. Let me, you know, take all the great things about Philly, put it into a show. And then the next time we did a show, I think that's the one you came to, Sheree. It was 75 families. But what people don't realize is that it started as a fashion and art exhibit. The art portion, I just kind of continue to go with that because it's a lot easier, being honest with me, to get around. So that's why I really started just setting up the art exhibition. But now we've grown from a give back to an organization. We are in 5 other cities, moving towards 10, hopefully, by the end of next year. Just going to different cities that's also played by violence. We do the art therapy. That's what Sparks is talking about. I do so many stuff. Like, I actually did a photo shoot for kids on Monday that people don't know about. Like, I do so many different things to be able to just give them spaces to heal. And all of the ones that are forgotten. So last year I did the exhibit at City Hall with, like, all co-victims of gun violence. So next year we'll be moving into, like, domestic violence, rape, stuff like that, drug abuse, like stuff that I talk about, but really focusing our exhibitions on that as well, because they're very left out, and that's also something that plagues our city. So it's just using the art to trick people. I always say to trick people into therapy, because when you come in and you're in a room full of people and you see, like, you're not by yourself, or you see another dad crying, another mom crying, a cousin, whatever, you kind of feel safe to do it yourself. And then they normally get, like, acclimated into some sort of mental health resource.
Yep.
So hopefully we'll open an art center next. That's the goal, is to open my art center.
Yeah, and I'm glad you touched on that, because mental health is definitely one of the concerns out here. They're suffering from trauma and depression and all that kind of stuff, and they just need, exactly like you said, somebody just open up to and just get, you know, to bring it to the forefront and address it.
One of the most important aspects is starting that conversation. You know, I sat through these events, and I actually get to go to a lot of events where we're talking about violence and the impact that it has on people's lives. And I tell people all of the time, I don't think that you actually ever really get over your losses. You know, every time I sit in that room, I sat there last night, and I can actually relive everything that ever occurred. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, oh my God, this is something that will never go away. But it takes a lot. It takes a lot to actually get to the point where you go into these rooms. You know what I mean? Because you know already that when you go in there, all of your wounds are going to be reopened. You know, you're going to be vulnerable again. You're going to deal with the situation. But I think when you get to the point where you understand that the healthy part of it is, number one, you are facing it. Number two, you're actually in a position now where you can hug somebody and hug them a little bit differently than you did years ago. You know, you end up sharing not always all of your narrative, but maybe sometimes you can just say, I understand where you are, you know, and if you're in that room, people accept it a little bit differently than they would if you were standing outside. You know, because it's like, all right, everybody in here is in here for a particular reason. And like I said in the beginning, membership in this room is not something that we ask for. You know what I mean? But if you're in here, that means either you're here as a helper. And even most of the helpers are people who have experienced things that lead them to that path. It's amazing to see, you know, how like death and violence lead you to a point where a lot of people are now the people who are healing, who are helping people. It's like divine intervention. And you know, Z, I believe in God with all my heart. And I say he makes things happen for a reason. And it's a shame to say to somebody that you had to go through what you had to go through so that then you can save 150 people. You know, like even saying that to you, you know what I mean? Like the experiences that you've had has now put you in a position where you've helped thousands of people. You know, like that to me is sad, you know, it's really sad. But the end result is you had many people in a room yesterday who need somewhere to go.
I was talking to Kiki's mom this morning. I was talking to Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just telling her, I was like, sis, you know, it just blows my mind to how fast this has grown. Like, you know, I've been doing it for 5 years, but I really did take that 2-year break. Like I had left the city.
Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know, when she came back to the city, I made her come back out of her closet.
I'm about to leave again.
She came back, I called her, and she said, I wasn't going to answer the phone. I don't want people to know I'm here yet. I was like, you got to come on the show.
I wasn't coming out to nothing. I was like, no, because people going to know that.
I'm like, I'm back. So you got to come on the show, and we have to do some things to help each other and help these people. And she was like, oh my God, you.
Yeah, I definitely was not coming out to nothing. I definitely was high. And I was actually back from like June. People didn't realize that I ain't started going back to stuff again until November after y'all was popping up. Okay. After y'all started like popping out and calling me, I'm like, let me go to something. And then here we are. But that was only...
That was a couple years ago. That was when I first came back. I think you were like, the first show back when I first came back on the radio. Because I took a break for like 6 months.
Yeah, I didn't start doing stuff again until August of 2022 is when I did my first exhibition at City Hall after all that time. And it's grown that fast in a year. But that's how fast it was growing at first. And then COVID hit, so I stopped. But it was the same thing in the beginning where it just kind of like went so fast, and you know, the pandemic hit, so I stopped. but it's doing the same thing, but it's grown immensely now. Like, it's really grown a lot.
Well, I mean, honestly, when we look at prior to the pandemic versus now, the need is more. You know, like, you had that year, 2 years ago, when the numbers went crazy in the city of Philadelphia alone. But what people don't realize is the numbers were crazy in Philadelphia, but they were crazy on a national level as well.
Yeah, they were.
You know, like, the death numbers were high here, but they were, and people kept saying, like, you don't realize it's not just Philadelphia. It's everywhere, you know, and the need has actually arisen. Like, unbeknownst to us, last night we were here at an event in Philadelphia, and around the same time they had that shooting in Las Vegas.
It was a shooting in Vegas yesterday?
Yeah. I was like, I didn't hear about that.
At the University of Las Vegas, three people were killed.
What?
Another mass shooting. They said the mass shootings alone, not the regular shootings like we deal with, you know, with 1-on-1, but mass shootings alone are at like 663 for the year 2023. They had a mass shooting yesterday. Three people were killed at the school in Las Vegas. Apparently, there was somebody who applied for a job and got mad and went back and went into the school and shot three of the administrators, and they shot four people. One person survived.
Oh my goodness!
And it was, but unbeknownst to us, because I was at an event with you doing what we do, and then when I leave to go home, you know, that was on the news, on MSNBC and all of the national news, talking about how it's consistently happening. You know, and the numbers are crazy and people need help.
Yeah.
You know, they now have the entire school was shut down and shut down until Sunday. The people who own the casinos were opening rooms so that the students who live on campus had somewhere to go in case they were uncomfortable going back to campus. And now they're trying to get counseling set up for those youth who have to go back to this environment where they were just like petrified. You know, you really have situations where people don't want to go outside.
Well, it's...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I know it's loud, y'all. Forgive me. I'm on the elevator. This is one of the things when people ask me about. This is why I'm really trying to put this as a victim service and really position it for that, because people really deal with PTSD and all of that stuff, and the arts help them to heal. But I don't know why it's always left out. Like, they ask people to do it, but it's not considered one, like, on a national level when you go to like a victim service and sign up for services. They don't put stuff like this down, but that's what I'm looking to change, because these youth is not going to connect to the same stuff we used to connect to. But if you get them in a space like this and help them to be able to use art to talk, like, it opens them up. And another thing, I don't just do painting. Like, it's different ways to do that.
So I'll say this to you. When my daughter was a victim of violence when she was younger, and I had to take her to therapy. I've actually worked at the public defender's office, so therapy is instilled in my head. All of the social workers I work with said, you need a therapy. I'm going to send you to a therapist, and they sent me to the right room. And my daughter was in therapy, and the first thing that they did, because she was so young, the first thing that they did was give her an art tablet and ask her to express herself in art form so that they can then analyze her art and understand the hurt that she felt, so then they can help her.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is that's that room that you need to be in to understand the value of something such as art, the value of music, the value of other, and I'll say it this way as a media person, other media platforms that are used as a means of communicating and pulling things out of you. Because music, art, graphics, all of these things, they all come together. And they make people express themselves in different ways, and it pulls information that ends up being valuable information, which either can send you in a different path or a different direction. Amaris has been clamoring to say something.
I have, because the thing is you both of you, Emilio and Zarina, you're on the phone talking about, you know, healing through art, and we're talking about the mass shooting that happened that I didn't know about. But
you guys don't do what I do. It's my job.
Well, no, what I'm trying to actually get at is there needs to be more connectivity, because I, you know, one of my good friends, Dennis Carradine Jr., he runs the Trauma Survivors Foundation, which he actually gets called out. So more than likely, he's actually in Las Vegas or one of the people that works
probably under his, on your way.
Yeah. because they go out and they actually offer free therapy and speak with the individuals that are affected, you know, from mass shootings, you know, and just kind of helping them set up, you know, shop and with the free therapy. So there's, you know, Dennis, who I'm friends with, but then I'm also friends with Tony Luke and MBB. They offer, you know, healing through arts, through drug addiction. You both, you know, kind of work with the community in your own, you know, avenues and do the same thing. And I'm almost like, is, you know, is
Wouldn't
there a way?
It be amazing to bring all of this together?
That's what I'm trying
saying?
To get at.
So one of the most important things about networking and about communication is about what we do for Zarina, because each week in Scoop, we actually feature one of the families that she deals with. And we had a little break here because she has all of this new art and all of these new portraits that we're trying to get it together so that we can continue. So I think starting in the next couple of weeks, we'll have our year's worth of photos and information so that we can continue, because it's very important that we give these people this platform. And Z, she said to me last night to walk around and take some photos for the paper, and I can't do it. I don't want to be the person who makes that decision, because I say to her all of the time, like, no, I'm going to let you do. You deal with the families. You understand timing and presence. I don't want to be the person to make that decision, because everybody in this room is so much more important to me. You know what I mean? If I say that I want to do you first, then why not do the other 100 people first? And I fight with myself on this. I'm like, no. I'm going to let you run this. You just tell me what you want me to do, which is a blessing, because she actually is one of the people who gets to give me her stuff and just tell me what she wants me to do, and I do it. A lot of people don't get that, and that most people know that. So you got to remember, you're in a special place. Ask Sparks. They don't get to tell me what to do. because of the delicacy of the situation that she deals with, I don't want to take that burden.
I had a conversation with an artist this morning, and I was just telling him, I said, I think people get overwhelmed with how many families it is, and they just like, I don't want to mess nothing up.
I don't dare want anybody to think that. In my opinion, as the publisher of this paper, that one tragedy as more important than the other. Because I can actually walk through the room and being a person who lost their brother at 14 years old, being a person who lost another brother at 26 and then another brother at 50, I can walk through that room and hug all of those mothers, because I know what it feels like to be the child next to the mother or the father who has lost. And to hear the tears and to see it and to have your own. You know what I mean? But I can walk through and hug everybody and do it wholeheartedly, you know, wholeheartedly. And when I think about that, I'm like, there's no way I could equate the value of the deaths in my own family. So to say that I'm going to put one in the paper this week and not the other one, I would have like no pages for news, because I think everybody needs to be in there all together.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So maybe we should do that. We did it one time before. We did like multiple stories at one time. Maybe we should do like a whole screen and dedicate it to, you know, the people that we've lost and give their parents, you know, a space to show that they are important. So that's just me.
No, I agree with you on that.
Hello.
What else? So Z, give us some insights. I got a little bit of things from No Gun Zone saying that you guys were going to be doing something else. What's coming next year?
So definitely that with me and him, we are working on change the narrative of media. We do the work together. He always supports me. I'm like, we got to start doing stuff together. So we're going to do stuff in person and on going live as well. Just really being able to use our platforms to get people that don't get an opportunity to share about their loved ones. So that's definite. But we definitely want to do some stuff live. So almost like a TV show type feel. We're working on that. But we have some events we want to put together. I will definitely be doing a lot of stuff more so and outside of Philadelphia. I'm not saying I'm stopping here, but I know a lot of people here where, you know, we can call each other and put it together. Well, there's other cities that I visited, and I'm like, I really need to be down there. So I will be doing a lot of stuff down there, but I'm glad, because then I can have the families from different cities come down. So next year is definitely like a year of expansion, really honing in and making sure those chances are fully set up. I have some documentaries coming next year. One is called Life Without Her, and I'm looking to make that into a series. It's about women, just basically putting a highlight on how it's like an uprising with women and children being murdered. So yes. It's called Life Without Her. So that comes out. That's actually probably the next thing I'm going to do is that I'm going to do a gala fundraiser, but I need to do that premiere of the documentary. That's going to be, that's already done. And the documentaries that I'm working on now focus on the domestic violence. And then the other one is focusing on you. So really just kind of what we talked about before, just tapping back into the media aspect. You know, that's my first love and that's stuff that I do all the time. So really just putting on my producer and director head, I hope one day I can have like a Lifetime channel like we used to watch. You know, you watch about people's life stories. Mm-hmm. So moving into that next year is a big thing for me, and really like opening up the lives of people that we lost. Like we have the pictures, but they still don't, it still doesn't speak to who they were. If you listen to a lot of these families and when they talk about their loved ones, like these people was dope. Like they was killing our lives. They was traveling and doing all types of stuff. And I'm like, I mustn't live yet because they was just really doing stuff. So mm-hmm. really just like, trying to focus on like people being able to see that, like really bringing the life to the pictures is the big thing next year.
Okay. All right. Cool. So communicating the messages as well
Yeah, getting the stories out there. Yes, man.
Oh, wow.
Cool. So that's going to happen through documentary and plays and monologues. Like I'm working on that. So really just taking that portrait that y'all have and you see it, but now really being able to be like, whoa, like this person was incredible. And really, honestly, for people to understand why these people is really crying so hard. Like, okay, yeah, it's the loved one, but this person was dope. Like they did all of these great things and, you know, we will never be able to experience that again. So just really just opening that up and hopefully that'll just really transform media and film, which is why I moved to LA. But instead of me feeling like I got to be out there, I'm just basically doing it, you know, from where I am mm-hmm. and starting there. And then I can just always do stuff out there. You know what I mean? Connect with people out there doing the work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also an aspect of this, you know, where you're pushing it and getting, reaching more people because there are individuals who don't, you know, live in a situation where, you know, there's domestic violence or gun violence and they just don't understand or comprehend the effects that it has on an, you know, on a family, on an individual. And
so I'll tell you what I say to people all of the time at press conferences and everything. I just said it in the beginning. Membership to these rooms is not something that you want.
Yeah.
And most, and the sad part of the story is that people often don't come to these rooms until you become a member. There are tons of people who can help. They don't understand the magnitude. They don't understand how it feels to be in these situations until you stand in there not understanding how this happened to your kid. You know what I mean? Because it's amazing because a lot of times people go crazy with it and it's like, oh my, and they become this whole big fight. Like, but it's like, yo, I would have loved for you to have helped me fight this fight beforehand.
Yeah.
And it's hard to figure out. Z is good at it because this is what she does, which is why I refuse to pick and choose pictures and stuff like that because you have to bring to the forefront and explain to people, you need to be in this room before you become a victim. I think one of the parents actually said it last night. One of the panelists said it. And she said, I don't want to sound harsh. You know what I mean? But imagine, what are you going to do when you end up in this situation? I mean, to think about, because then I'm sitting there as a parent of two daughters thinking, like, wow, this could really come a lot closer to home. I'm grateful that I'm one of those people who are in the room trying to help now as not just somebody who can help, but as a victim, as somebody else who understands the pain. But I don't want to be a mother dealing with that. I remember what it did to my mom, you know? Like, seriously, I don't want to do that. It takes a lot. And for her to continuously bring people into a room and to work. And it's amazing because people are there and they want to be there. They want answers. Like so many people want answers. They want understanding, you know. And we need people like Z. We need more people to help her.
Yeah.
We need more people to come to the forefront. We need. We need people who are therapists, people who can come and say we want to help. We want to, you know, come to you. Maybe in the back of the room, in addition to you saying the people who have programs, we can have a section set up to the side where somebody can go meet with somebody. You know what
so
I mean?
That's what I've been asking to do. Like, mm-hmm. and I've asked a couple of people. If y'all had some people in mind, they always say yeah, and then they don't follow up. But I've. And again, this is because, like I told you, since people don't haven't been, so they kind of probably thinking I'm lying with how much people be there, how much help we need. And it's funny because Councilman Kenyatta said that this morning as well, but I've been looking for it to get that type of help. I've reached out to a couple organizations like, hey, can y'all be there? Because that's ultimately what the art center is going to be, where it's going to be a museum and a community center together where they would come in and they would, you know, of course they're going to be overcome with emotion, mm-hmm. but we send them downstairs and say, okay, these are the services that we offer here. And it's literally the services that's in the community is people already doing the work.
Yeah.
And they
yeah,
can get them the help that they need.
That makes sense. I was reaching out to a few folks too like that too, y'all. I was like Dr. Kentak and other guys, even a therapist to sit down in a panel, like you said, and sit down and get them in the room so we could just brainstorm. And like you said, because it's traumatized to a lot of folks who it need to be addressed from the professional guys.
So, I mean, seriously, there were a couple of mothers in that room last night who I would have loved to have been able for you to be able to say, let's go in the back and let me take you in the back. There's somebody back here who may not end up being your therapist. Or if you share your story, a lot of times people will say, I'm going to stick with you. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and you open up to them and they end up being the person that works with you and helps you through these processes. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It is a lot.
I'm actually asking some of the parents or the family members of people that come to be advocates now. So that will be next year for sure. Okay. So they will be actually in the room. So when they see somebody crying,
I wonder if you can do like a train-the-trainer program where you can get some therapists. No, I believe in stuff like that. Where you can get like a couple of therapists to actually tell people the basic things which can actually set up the platform so that they could, you know, be those people who are there.
Okay.
Listen,
I've been asking, but I definitely, they will say yeah, because they always, like, they're basically going to be like Ethelos advocates next year, and that's going to be their job.
Well,
to walk around and do just what you said.
We're going to volunteer Sharmell. We're going to throw her out there, because you know she a therapist, and she got tons of friends who are therapists. So we're going to put y'all in the room together, which is what we've been working on anyway. Getting you and her and some of her friends in a room together, and you can come up with a plan where she can work with you, and maybe you guys can actually accomplish that. We could probably do it from in-house. May not even have to go outside. It's enough of us in-house that we can actually set up our own thing. And then, as I always say, I love it when we help each other first. If we can set it up, and then we can get other people to come in once we have it established the way you want it. So let's set up something after this where you can talk to her and we can start planning it out. So I'll be doing a little bit more than what I wanted to do.
Well, that's what I was going to jump in. I was like, I don't know if you want to connect with both of them, actually, because I can then try to network and connect them to the people that I know.
Yeah, I think that he already has this whole company thing going over here.
Sorry.
So I think that they're going to start off a little bit in-house and try to come up with their plan and let her be in charge of her destiny.
Yeah.
As opposed to bringing in somebody who's a corporate person who's flying all over the world doing it.
Okay.
And then she can actually talk to him after she's established her own
brand. All right.
Is that good, Z? I mean, I took over the whole plan.
Look, I've been in contact with him anyway, because I'll be running around getting some stuff off the ground anyway. So I'll be out here. I'm actually out here on hitting the ground up. So, I'll be in contact.
So I think the whole point is that there are more than enough of us that if we can probably come together, we can do a whole lot more. And it may be time now. I've been sitting on the sidelines doing the articles and helping out, but maybe it's time for us to pull together and do a little bit more. And help you take it another step.
Please.
You know, don't please
so, you know,
me.
I ain't got no problem with saying go see such and so.
Don't please me. We're going to have some conversations and do some other stuff. And then in the new year, when you're moving toward your next goals, you'll have another level so that, you know, we're not just doing it. Because it's evident that more is needed. You know, it's just that, you know, the conversations and having the panel discussions and, of course, Movita and her stories and people sharing is really, really good. But the tears and stuff, I can't take it. I'm like, we got to figure out how to.
My mentor don't even come anymore, she said, because she always say I make people cry because I do it when we out. People be talking like, I don't even know why I'm crying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you don't. You
so
don't.
I come to anything.
I sat there on the front row and I'm like, this is hard. This is very, very, very. And God forbid it's somebody that you end up knowing a little bit about their story, you know, already. Yeah. And it just reopens. It opens these wounds, and you have to figure out what can we do to help them heal. And again, if I'm sitting here and my brother was murdered in 1984, right? If I'm sitting here, say I go through this thing where I relive it and I am emotionally messed up every time I think and I'm in a room with those stories and dealing with the situation again, I can tell people that it never goes away. It never goes away. It's something that sticks with you. You do grow as a person. You do grow. You are stronger. You can help people. You can express different. You have a different outlook on life because of the loss. But the mere fact that it occurred hurts. So, and it hurts the same. The pain is the exact same. I can't really, really describe it. But it's the pain, the same pain that I felt at the moment that it occurred in my life. It's like it's the same pain. It hurts.
So with me, like I said, some of the avenues I got is good. Like through music, that can be therapeutic to some people.
Oh no, it is therapeutic.
And that kind of music stuff is helping out. So the kind of records I got and stuff like that, we could just tie. That just a lot. All of it go to hand in hand. So it's like anytime y'all need me to do some stuff, I'm available. Y'all need to just we can contact each other. You know how to reach me, Sheree. The other lady on the line, I guess we catch up. What's your name again?
Oh, Amorous.
So Amorous is one of my co-hosts. She's usually in the studio with me. So when you come, because you will be back.
I gotta get back up to the radio in the flesh. I gotta get back up there in person.
Yes. Yeah. So when you come back, you'll see Amorous. Amorous is and actually Z, you were supposed to be a part of this, but you running around so busy. So they actually are doing the show themselves every other week. Because remember, you were supposed to do the show at least 1 week out of the month too. So that you can have your own platform to focus on the things that you need to, but actually have an open audience. You know, the audience that you're not likely to normally have.
Because next year, I really want to do this. Like, let's figure that out. Because I didn't put anything on my schedule yet except for, like, two things in Miami. So okay. I can really plan my schedule out. So let's plan it out. Because I if it's on there, you know, I'll just know it's there.
Yeah.
You got to stop playing smart because you need to be helping them boys.
Hey, listen, that's why I said I'm around. You guys got to just reach out to me. I'm there.
Well, because
I'm on the way.
Well, maybe one of the things that we can do is bring him back on, Emilio back on, and bring on one of the one or two of the boys that he's working with.
That he worked with. It was
they would be open to that. That would be cool.
Yeah. So, I think that the opportunity to express themselves and share it, people need to understand that platforms like this are open and they're accessible. You know what I mean? You can actually have a room where you can tell your story. There's nobody that's hiding it from you. You know, you have Scoop, you have people who are in positions to actually help you share your story, and we need to hear it. We really do. I think that if some kids some adults could hear some of these youth speak about some of the things that they go through, they would have a different outlook on life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they would.
Here.
So,
absolutely.
Of course, time is coming to an end. Z, give us some info so that people, of course, can contact you if they have a situation that they think you would be able to help them with, God forbid.
Okay.
So, I hate that.
It's the truth, though.
I know, but still.
So if anybody's interested in getting a loved one portrait done, or if you're interested in getting connected, just for some help, sometimes people say the picture is too emotional, because when you see a person that can't on that canvas is real. So if they're just interested in just getting connected to some help, I always answer my information on IG is Zarina Lomax, ZARINAHLOMAX. I am the only Zarina Lomax on Instagram, so you're going to find me. Also the epilogue.org, you can go there, but I'm very responsive, in person as well. So if you see me out, please come up and talk to me. Cause I definitely will, and I would love to be able to help you. And the organizations, if you're looking to partner, I am the partner girl. I love to partner cause it's less work for me. So if you are interested in partnering, please reach out to me. And I'll give my business number. It's 484-451-8017, because I know some people just like to be a little bit more personal. They're not an email person. But I really like to talk to people and fill their hearts, because I can tell if somebody really want to do this for the work, if they want to do it to be seen. So I would prefer to talk to you, set up Zooms, and really fill a person out instead of just the email. It's a little impersonal. And that's it. You can contact Sheree, everybody on here. I'm very easy. She'll tell you. I might be a little slow in touching sometimes, but I'm with mine.
Sparks, real
I
quick.
Do.
Are they just going to reach you through me?
Sparks.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You need to contact. I'm the Real Emilio Sparks on Instagram. TheRealEmilioSparks. That's the Real Emilio Sparks on Instagram. And I'm JJOSparks@gmail.com if you can email. And you just leave a message, and if you leave a number, I'll get right back to you.
Okay. So as with all things, good things always come to an end faster than what we realize they should. I want to thank you both for joining us. Everyone, you've been listening to The Inside Scoop. We're dealing with situations that are real. Please reach out to Scoop USA Media if you have anything. Thank you. Love you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, have a good talk with y'all. See y'all around.
All right.